The first readings from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there'll be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as soldiers rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Good evening, everybody. Can I add my welcome to Maggie's welcome earlier? She said, "My name is Steve and I'm the vicar of St. Giles." If we haven't met, It's really lovely to have you here joining with us this evening. I'm so pleased that you've set aside this time, whatever you've been doing this week, whatever you'll be doing tomorrow, just to sit in the presence of God and to hear this wonderful story that we've heard this evening, just read to us from Scripture. But I want to introduce what I want to say this evening by referring to an award ceremony that happened recently. And I wonder if you caught this on the news. Lewis Hamilton got himself into a bit of trouble recently because of comments that he made about the town where he was born. Anybody know where he was born? Stevenage. And he made some comments at an award ceremony. I'm sure most of us here know that Lewis Hamilton is the world champion of Formula One. He drives for Mercedes. But he said this at an award ceremony. It really was a dream for all of us as a family to do something different, for us to get out of the slums. He was talking about his present life. I don't know if you know, but Lewis Hamilton now has three homes. He has one in New York. He has a ranch near Colorado where he hopes to retire. And his present house is in Monaco. And he made this comment about the town where he grew up. He's come a long way, hasn't he, from the so-called slums of Stevenage. Well, he needed to retract that comment fairly quickly in the public domain the next day when he realised what he'd said. Now, when we read about the birth, not of a Formula One driver, but of the Son of God, the Saviour of the world, we find that he comes not to a town like Monaco or New York, but he comes to a small town. In fact, if you were looking on Google Maps, it would be a tiny, tiny dot of a place. We might imagine not Stevenage, but maybe Earls Barton. But actually, that's a bit too posh, because it wasn't as posh as Earls Barton. Let's think. Maybe we'd imagine somewhere like Dustin. But actually, even Dustin would be too big. Maybe I think we might have to think about Cookno, somewhere like that. A little place on the edge of a big town, like a tiny dot on the map. You see, Jesus, God's Son, left the splendor and glory of heaven. He doesn't come to Jerusalem, the seat of power and wealth. He comes to Bethlehem. There's a picture on the screen of Bethlehem today. And actually, of course, Bethlehem today is a bigger place. It's become a place of pilgrimage. And it's full of all sorts of churches and mosques and all sorts of buildings. And yet when Jesus comes, it's a tiny, tiny little dot of a place. An insignificant place. Maybe only somewhere between 300 and 500 people living in this small town. In human terms, it was an unlikely setting for the events that we just heard read by Aleph. And here were the words that we read, the angel announcing, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And that's exactly what those shepherds find. They go to the town of David, Bethlehem. They find their way to the stable, and there in a manger is this child, the one who had amazing names like Emmanuel, Messiah, Saviour, Son of God. This child, Jesus, in this place, a tiny little dot on the map. You see, God's people, the Jewish people, had been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years for the birth of their Messiah. Their prophecies had actually predicted that he would be born in Bethlehem. It was a town with royal connections. That's why we sing, "Once in Royal David's City." If you were to look back to the life of King David, the greatest king who ever lived in Israel, you would find that he was anointed at Bethlehem. So it was forever after that point known as the city of David. And the angel announces the news. God's son, the Messiah, Christ the Lord, will be born in Bethlehem, and you'll find him lying in a manger. Someone has said that hope is waiting for God to fulfill his promises. I love that. Hope is waiting for God to fulfill his promises. Well, God had promised that he would send a Savior. He would send the Messiah. And the Messiah came on this evening. And the Messiah that God's chosen people were waiting for was born, not in a royal palace, but born in this tiny place in Bethlehem, in a stable. And as we read the stories in Matthew and Luke, we find an unexpected beginning. We find his mother is a virgin, Mary. His earthly father is descended from King David. But who would have ever imagined that the Son of God would have such a humble beginning? It's a strange but wonderful story. And I wonder, as you hear about this story again this Christmas, as you hear these readings, as we sing about it in these carols, I wonder if to you it's both strange and wonderful. This afternoon, I joined with some friends of ours, and we went up to the pub at Collingtree, and they'd organised a community carol singing. And the place was full of people, and there was a pint of beer in one hand and a carol sheet in the other hand. And we sang songs like "Once in Royal David's City." And I sang them too. But as I sang them and looked around the fire at the people with the pint of beer in one hand and the carol sheet in the other, I wondered, do you know what you're singing? Do you know the power of the words that you are singing? Do you know what these carols are about? Do you know that this is the story of the Son of God Almighty coming to this earth to be born as a child in a stable and in a manger? I wonder if for you this is a strange but wonderful story. And here we are, all these years later, retelling and celebrating the birth of this child with joy and delight and wonder. And that's because this is no ordinary child. This isn't just a Jewish baby born in a far-off country. This is a story that would be told year after year after year. And here we are this evening, gathering to hear it told again. It's a story that is so simple that a tiny child can enjoy it and remember it and retell it. They can dress up with tea towels on their heads. They can parade with toy crowns on their head. They can gather round a little manger and tell the story of Jesus coming to be born. It's a story that even a child can enjoy. And yet, it's a story profound and deep enough to inspire adults and children alike to rejoice in it, to want to share it with others. This story, this Bethlehem story, this stable story is part of a bigger story. And that bigger story is the story of God's action in the world. And we find that time and time again, God gets involved in the world that he has made. And when he does that, he chooses unlikely people. He acts in surprising ways. And for me, the greatest surprise of all is the way that he steps in when we feel we don't deserve his help, when he comes alongside people with love and kindness. And that's why many, many people call this bigger story the story of grace, because it's a story of love and kindness and giving for people who don't deserve it and could never earn it. Ordinary people like you and me, God steps into their story and draws them into his story. And if we think that the birth of God's Son in the stable is surprising, we just need to fast forward in the story about 30 years. And when we do that, we find that the next crucial event in the story takes place in another unexpected place, a place called Calvary, also called Golgotha, the place of the skull, a hill outside Jerusalem. And here on this hill, on a cross, Jesus, God's Son, is crucified and dies. And so the Christmas story and the Easter story are all part of this bigger story that we call the story of grace. And so it is that here in this place tonight, we remember the events that took place in Bethlehem. A young mother, a nervous earthly father, a child in the manger, shepherds gathering around. But we also remember the events on the cross at Calvary, the events that we'll remember when we take bread and wine in just a moment. Matt Redman has tried to gather these two parts of the story into a song that he calls How Far, and he thinks about how far Jesus came and how far Mary and Joseph travelled and how far the wise men travelled. And he writes this, and we'll hear this song in a moment. How far they went to Bethlehem, how far you went for Calvary. No greater grace was ever known, no greater love was ever seen. And this grace and this love, which are at the centre of this story, are for you and for me. God loved you and me so much that he sent his Son, Jesus, to be the Saviour of the world. Let me read this. It's an introduction to a book that is called God's Story. It says this: this book tells the grandest, most compelling story of all time, the story of a true God who loves his children, who established for them a way of salvation and provided a route to eternity. Each chapter of the story reveals the God of grace, the God who speaks, the God who acts, the God who listens, the God whose love for his people culminated in his sacrifice of Jesus, his only Son, to pay for the sins of humanity. What's more, this same God is alive and active today, still listening, still acting, still pouring out his grace and love upon us. His grace extends to our daily foibles, our ups and downs and our in-betweens, our moments of questions and fears. He's the same God who forgave David's failures. He's the same God who rescued Jonah from the belly of a whale. The same Heavenly Father who shepherded the Israelites through the wilderness desires to shepherd you and me through our wanderings, to help us get past our failures and rescue us for eternity. You see, when God sends his Son to be born in Bethlehem, he's sending a rescuer, a savior. I want to just finish by returning to Lewis Hamilton. Just imagine him in Monaco, in his palatial residence. Now just imagine Lewis Hamilton decides to move back to Stevenage. Or let's say he decides to move to Northampton. Or perhaps even he moves into your street. Maybe Lewis Hamilton even moves next door to you. Or what would it be like if Lewis Hamilton moved into your house to stay with you? And then he handed over his checkbook and he began to write checks to put things right in your home, in your street, in Northampton, in a bankrupt council. Lewis Hamilton began to draw on all his wealth for the good of others, to alleviate poverty, to rescue the homeless, to deal with the unemployment in Northampton. Just imagine Lewis Hamilton comes with all of his resources. He moves into your home and he begins the process of putting things right. It's a poor illustration, but that's exactly what Jesus does. He leaves the glory of heaven and steps into our story. And his greatest desire is to move into your home and my home, into your life and my life, and begin that process of putting things right between us and God and us and our neighbours and us and one another. And his invitation this evening to you and to me is to step in to this wonderful story of grace. That's what God does. That's what God is always doing. That's what God did in Bethlehem on this night that we call Christmas Eve. He stepped into the human story so that we might be invited into the greatest story that's ever told. We're going to watch this little film in just a moment. I have a few copies of this little booklet. It's called Follow the Star. It's a little journey through the 12 days of Christmas. It begins today, Christmas Eve, for the next 12 days. If you'd like to have one of these, it's just a little thought for the day every day, a few verses from the Bible. That might just help you to explore this Bible story, this Christmas story, in a bit more detail. We also run a course here at St. Giles called the Alpha Course. We'll be starting that in the new year. And that's an opportunity just to find out, what does this story mean for me, and how could I be part of it? But if you'd rather just take something away and just explore the story for yourself, then we also have a few of these booklets called Why Christmas? And they'll just tell you a little bit of the story if you want to explore it for yourself. So I'd like to invite us now for a moment, just before we move on in our service, to watch a short film, hear a piece of music, and it's talking about this distance that Jesus travelled from heaven down to earth, how far he came. The glorious news of this Christmas is that he came all that way for you and for me. Let's watch it.